Táim an háasta bheith léomh deantacha tríanana an chiaadú riomh do ingusáim a bheith léomh deanta chéile agus tréaslín de leabhar nua leatacha tríanana. Ass po bhhailim sa do sníim leis buchas a bháil le pál as an éochttatá diaantaige agus ó bhhéil i cheméad ar bun sna léhamanta seo. Níhhaint san nachgusáilin bhfuil écht dianta ag pál péiscéil in nhhainar san na filiíochta Aúil sé tre seaamh leis ar san na héagsúlaachta agus ar san na choramíocht de tean rud atáin a gnách. I was just thinking earlier coming up the stairs, it felt a little bit like the first trip to Father Matthew Hall for a fish and feeling like you probably hadn't quite come to grips with Walter Delamere or Eleanor Fergin or whoever it was you were supposed to have learnt off by heart. And then I realised it's not like that at all. There's no place better to read poems than at Ó Bhéal. Even if you're not from Cork, it still feels, which I am, of course, it feels like a home game always. And what's great about it is that everybody is on side all the time. And it doesn't really matter who's in front of the microphone. Everybody wants the poem to win in the end. So I'm delighted, Paul, that you've managed to transfer what you had in the room upstairs into this marvelous gathering online. So I haven't really written anything in response to what's going on. That's not really the way it works for me anyway. But one of the things that did strike me in recent weeks was just how solidarity is absolutely at the center of our understanding of what it means to be human. And not just solidarity across geographical boundaries, but I suppose even more so in the present crisis, solidarity that's across generations, that's transgenerational. It seems to me that that's kind of under attack here, and not just by the virus sometimes. So I'm going to begin with a poem that I wrote when my first grandchild was born, and my father was still alive at the time, and it just had this extraordinary sense of timelessness about being part of four generations, feeling that you could reach back to your granddad's time. My grandfather, whom I'm named for, was born in Cork in 1900, and he feels very close to me. And with the birth of the first grandchild, I thought I might even be able to reach forward to the end of this century. And I think it's really, really important that we remind ourselves how close we are to both the older and the younger people around us. The poem is called Slíne Fíringe. Táim siirí ina láthair, chó críanna le bradán as a rúa. Níos óigean mar a bhí sa meathair óg is a máthair siúd in Bacling. Trí hachtan sa raibh beartaithe de tacht i de sach bhí na marbh. Tá an tám bun os ciún ó hin is mé an handaine chó sinnint anois nár cheart mé ligint trasna an bhóthair liom héin sa dúirteach. Tá na dahanna go léir a bhhailigh an talamh ón spéir á scaga tré thuúile linmh ná feidir fós cén da is fear a thagande sa solas sa héan ó mharracíní trí an tánacha cos go dtí suaí lí a maithir a bhfuil a láimh ar mo ghuailing ar chlíán an mhóthar mhúr. Tá an leanamh na seasamh eadaring lóchra na cín á ráling nach gá é an agla feasta. Ní ácha si an áid seo, go bhheice si ghascáil le banúde ón áid thoil a fréig si ar bowl an tíiríocht fáiscithe ina dorn. Hereafter, I'm deathless in her presence, old as the salmon of Asaro, younger than I was as a young father holding this child's mother 3 weeks before she was due on a winter evening in late autumn. Time has been out of kilter ever since, and I'm so old and innocent now, I shouldn't be allowed across the road on my own in the dark. All the colours the earth has gathered from the sky are sifted through the eyes of a child who can't decide which one to wear in the light that shines from her triangular toes to my father's grey eyes as he puts his hand on my shoulder on the edge of the main road. The child stands between us, her hair a lantern, telling us there's no need to be afraid. She won't leave this place till she sees two shadows waving back from the other side she left just now, eternity gripped in her fist. Almost on the same theme, a poem called Luascán. Sagardin Follov, Ta Luascán Gurum a Luasca, Ganenya Vru, O Hirshigan Re, than Ober Lanabui Gan Boyachus. Na Corrig, a Derum, Lishan Lanavim Hyon. Na Ligurt, Gurfader Lat Hene Yanov. Gumrahatu alive, let the groan, a glore crusta Maria, Aralyat. Gurfador Riav, Bohorda de Abelta, to Hain, a Hursna Flahish Vyoga, Gan Enya de the Vru. Ernoin, a Derum, Lishanahar Imagina, is a Vak, a Fiachant, Trigalo, Lagritamach, Luascán Gorum, a Tal Luasca Goni, Eregan, Sagardin Follov, Gan Enya of Ru, Enya Nayacher. Swings. In the empty garden, there's a blue swing barely moving, and no one pushing it since the wind got tired of its childish, thankless work. Don't move yet, I tell the child in my mind. Don't let on, you can do it yourself, till you feel his hand at your back, his voice pretending to be cross as he tells you, you're old enough to be able to push yourself as high as you want to, without anyone having to push you. Of course, I say, to the father in my mind, and his son looking out through the half-drawn blind at a blue swing still moving, but only just in the empty garden with no one to push it, no one at all. This poem is called Inín Dechtina. Dechtina's daughter, Dechtina, was Cúchulainn's mother, and people sometimes wonder to themselves or aloud what might have happened if Shakespeare had a sister with a similar talent. How would she have performed in the context of the time in which he flourished? And I was wondering, in an Irish context, what if Cúchulainn had a sister? Would she be capable of the same level of destruction as he was? And then I saw her one day walking through Galway, and this is the poem. The translation is by Biddy Jenkinson. Inín Dechtina. Vóir an chuisláin nua tá cailín fiún a siúl i drón bhaile. Maidir fuin seoige i sile ón a láimh, chu héasca leis a locha atá rinke ar chlár a héadan. Tá mount mar is cóir san aimad críana is mark dá réir ar ghrúa na maná. Fáirt na himmartha in a súil is a cromán chó casta sa túilde le bais an chamáin a dás gan chuine na glaic. Dúirt for fuil ach a dúcasí chó fada le cóisir cholam. Dechtina's daughter. On Newcastle Road, a fair-haired girl is walking towards town, an ashtick swinging in her hand, easy as the lock of hair dancing on her forehead. As you'd expect, there's a nick in the seasoned wood, another in the girl's cheek, and the fire of combat blazing in her eyes. Her hip bones jut and angle, turned like the blade of a hurley that grew unexpectedly in her fist. Blood will be spilt when she arrives at Cullen's feast. Just see if I can find it. I wanted to read a poem called Hati. I just lost the page it was on here. Maybe just bear with me 2 seconds. Let's see if I can get it. I suppose, for want of a better word, it must be a love poem. It's called Hati or Hats Off. And it has, the epigraph is from a poem that John Berryman wrote when he was in Dublin for a time. It's one of the dream songs. I think it's set in Slattery's pub in Rathmines. It has a very unpromising first line, which is what I've quoted here. It says, "Hold on to me and we'll both drown." So here we go with Hathi, and the translation is mostly, in this case, also by Biddy Jenkinson. Erhugish fenara glas a good gruige, a lechna is ingeni data. Suile lasta erain da is gara leshna heerdi nue gala. Ahus is shillelo or rein gosail. Namana man esta, a tarti, a lami is a varava augant. Yet a suas simar and tea, maravurder, pay nevi uha erfanem lian. Narvisako hain kade mugavuradere. Near hug, ersatu, gutur. Egemacht undorosomach, kurucht uit achurch ayrk ernonin. Hata vintage, anuis er lahuil glas, a will dinis namara fosinte. Fahrig bod is fair. Manoi gul gan stop is buachelavine, a dolfui. A reish is a reish ella de the voyages. Roberto ba on it, traw. Hats off. Have you noticed how their hair shines, the colour of their cheeks and nails, eyes lit, shaped and shaded to match their bright new clothes, delight cloaking them head to toe. Women of a certain age, about to leave their men and children locked up in the attic where they got whatever they wanted all those years, not knowing what they wanted till they found it. I have not, you say, heading out the door, smelling so sweet you'd rouse a daisy, a vintage hat tilted over one eye that is still sea deep, full of shipwrecks and man wrecks, women crying, and one boy who keeps going down again and again, no matter how you try to stop him. He nearly drowned in you once upon a time. I'm going to read, if I might, let me just see if I got it here, I do. I'll read one section from a long-ish poem, which is like a day in the life of a village in the west of Ireland, where the dead and the living collide, where characters from history meet people that are made up, and they're all equally real or unreal. And it follows the course of a day from sunrise to sunset. There are some recurrent characters, a very cranky old man called Sweeney, a very anxious nun, and a young woman from Venezuela who's hitching through the village. And it starts very brightly and then gets a bit darker a bit later. And is one of the darker pieces set in a graveyard. So I might just read the translation of this one. Every time a body is brought to the graveyard, the bad dream starts again in the minds of the sailors who were buried by the cathedral wall, where Adam and Eve are turned to stone, ravaged by rain salt. Drowning is a cozy death, survivors say. Let go, give in, give up. Surrender to the tide that fills you with itself, smoothing every trace of worry from your face, say the lucky ones who got away. The dead sailors hear murmurs like storm warnings through clouds of static, prayers said quickly in the foreign language of their new neighbours before they hurry home from the endless rain. When shovels of earth thump the wooden coffin, who knows if it's the heart knocking on the door of his chest or a boat engine fading till there's nothing left, only worms darning our raveled dreams. Eternal rest without light, the perpetual fragrance of rain. Just two more poems, if I might. Something a little bit lighter. Again, I suppose this is by way of being a love poem, although it won't appear that that's the case immediately from the title, which is "A Will Erolas Aguin Fe Frotastunig," all we know about Protestants. Fina maconta, ni hunan is shinghain. Ni lisaka fos conis te ienav, prati a veru, na breag chart e ancient. Ni chredin siad savaiden vira na savaiden vara, Maria Goretti na little Nelly. E ni a beder de verachorer, dreer George Bernard Shaw. Hana fir down on yrian, liefa, landarira, na mna fiun, gorum huilach akeli. Nor hen siad har bride, shasan rosana ara, nochtan papini a grihe leonta, curan trechan catholicach a chion tornapa fin a schiahan leonta. Ina blaiten a danimnigiat, a vuindoiv folklore runda, seti, cooch, pantry, coolchisten, preserves, suv, pudding, mealshog, ginger beer. Ni hen siad fuistum ach lauren godirach le dia gan caras a chuart na engel cuidachta na tachta dala. Dina maha, ni le ni dienta co bagha a vahav. Hara sin a ghinne, taid cho holk, cho hat le se gudela gwing. Nos gair go meg le cun of de is a vahar banahe. All we know about Protestants. Decent people, not at all like us. They still don't know how to make tea, boil potatoes, tell proper lies. They don't believe in the Virgin Mary, in mermaids, Maria Goretti, or Little Nelly. Anything you could put your finger on, according to George Bernard Shaw. The men are tanned, well-spoken, sincere. The women, blonde, blue-eyed, agile. When they walk by, roses stand to attention. Poppies bear their wounded hearts. A Catholic crow puts his turnip head under his broken wing. Enid Blyton baptized them and taught them their secret language. Settee, couch, pantry, back kitchen, preserves, jam, pudding, dessert, ginger beer. They don't go to confession, but speak directly to God with no cronies, guardian angels or TDs to help them. They're so honest, they've done nothing that requires forgiveness. Apart from that, my friend, they're every bit as bad, as odd as the rest of us. Or they will be soon enough with the help of God and his blessed mother. I should say the point of that poem is my wife is Protestant and is absolutely appalled at the state of the majority of the population were reared. I'm going to finish with a poem called An Paróis de Theas, which is a poem in memory of Liam O'Mirilla, whose second anniversary occurs next week, at this day week, on the 18th of May. And before Liam died, I was fortunate enough to spend some time with him, record a series of conversations in which he talked about poetry, about language, about all the things really that he'd spent his life working on. And such extraordinary strength, even in his voice, in his way of speaking about those things. And although he knew he was dying and dying quite quickly at that stage, I think it was a measure of his integrity, but also his commitment that these were the things he still wanted to talk about. And there's a mention in the poem. So the poem draws on those conversations and on ideas and things in Liam's poems. He has a poem called The Shake, which is about Seán Aríordáin. And he thinks Daly's Bridge, the Shaky Bridge in Cork, should be called Dreahid Aríordáin, Seán Aríordáin Bridge. But it occurred to me that in Liam's poetry, there is this idea that actually the imagination and the language and the literature of Cork City is a shaky bridge between two sides of the river, between the city and the country, between past and present, and between Irish and English. So this is for Liam O'Mirilla, An Paróis de Theas, the South Parish. The first line of the poem here is from a story he told me, and it was a story told to him by Elaine Ní Chuilíneán. She's the girl in the first line here. Prostahas. Gramilamagriv Asavegeshtucht. Don't go in there, a Dorton governess, Lesha Galeen, or a Truchado Crom Ool, a Nardeen, a Mwintre. A Fitusa, a Gabalia, Sahul tried. Clodahe, Ignabio is no Mardiv, Maravuil and Tua is an Chaher, Anish is an Olod Lechela, a Dig Tarna Bean the Far. Chahesh, the hail a Tochelt. Gornochte gohan a baita sa laib reavur laura. Nor a pshuxmut agus vergi ryan. Walter Vigilans is ferna hoan. A yultig gifte the chid fuckle. Fuck off with your Irish. Gimme my voice like. Varda der onut agus treat. The Russian a chur irha churgli ar lasa le mortus a horiv. John Hart is Maggie Howley. Miss Paris, Nadia Gatri, a Gael Itte, Ig Ailsha, Michael, agus Finbar, the Delianuint, Gavura, the Rani of Iua. Selig Tussa, Idir Ga Lean, a Liam, Graim on Dav Ruachagut, no man's long, a Heratu, Le Fwil, agus Alas the Fiend. Gor Aimshig, the Stoicha Fane, Sagawl, Idir Ga Rut, na Hawn. Drihid guagach dianta docwil gar fader a hiul an ish at a haunta. Is linge fasta an chidshin din hain an nochta tu duing e vwyrm vair si. Sar chuish le shark na leacht an skail mar a willa mead na fos a foul an port is lein ag a shivshe e gumper cre agus cloch o riada o riardain o myrla corkig. South Parish. Don't go in there, said the governess to the girl, whose people had 32 apple trees in their garden. But you were at ease in the back street, thronged with the living and the dead, where town and country, now and then, collided in your mother's fabled tavern. You spent your life digging till submerged voices emerged from the pre-verbal slime. Nora Pruxmut and Virgie Ryan, Walter Vigilans and the Riverman, who refused your gift with words. Fuck off with your Irish. Give me my voice, like. They lived in you and through you. Russian, who set West Cork blazing rebellion at his wake. John Hart and Maggie Howley, Annie Bowen, Miss Paris, 1903, her jaw eaten by cancer. Michael and Finbar following you till they found what they wanted. You were born between two rivers and times, holding on to the banks of that no man's long you claimed with the blood and sweat of your pen. Coming ashore in the fork between two streams where you found your home, a shaky bridge of words we walk with you and after you. We have it now, that part of ourselves you showed us in verse, before you left with the best of our heroes to enter that school where we're still learning to speak and sing while you and they are under clay and rock. O Riada, O Riardine, O Mirla, Cork. Gramila Mahagath.